for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, the Braves are back in action tonight on the West Coast. What did you say, Abe? Abe's in for Mike. You said you don't call them the A's. You call them...
They're the Athletics.
Because they're in Sacramento.
Yeah, minor league ballpark.
Sacramento's a terrible town. So they are there. They start a new series tonight. We're going to talk more about that. Grant's on the way coming up next hour. And more about our team, the Atlanta Falcons, and what actually happened last year with Kirk Cousins. This new doc, Quarterbacks on Netflix, has everybody talking about it. We're talking about it, and rightfully so. Abe's opinion differs from mine. We will get to all of that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, let's get to some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Connor Riley from Dog Nation joining us. Connor, I was looking at this yesterday. Real quick, I want to start here about quarterbacks in the SEC. I know you've heard and you've been all over this with the hype surrounding Arch Manning. Fair, unfair. I think he's going to be really good. But that's neither here nor there. What about the quarterback for Georgia? And would you put DJ Lagway and Lenore Sellers and Nussmeier, Garrett Nussmeier at LSU, all of these guys in front of Gunnar Stockton, even Simmons, the kid, Austin Simmons, looked really good against Georgia last year for Ole Miss. I think he's going to take the country by storm. This kid can play. He came in and led them to a 10-play, 75-yard drive in a 7-7 game last year, and he made it look easy. All of those guys are better or perceived better than Gunnar Stockton?
I definitely think there's a perception, especially Simmons. I think Simmons is such an interesting comparison because I was there in Oxford that day, and he did look really good. But at the same point in time, I put a lot of stock in what Gunnar Stockton had to do against Texas and against Notre Dame, two teams that were in the Final Four last year of the college football playoff. And I think some of that gets overlooked because he didn't put up gaudy numbers and he didn't look great in that second half against Texas. But I struggle to think of a quarterback who would be thrust into that situation that would play well. I think you can even point back to earlier in the season when Georgia and Texas played each other in Austin. They inserted Arch Manning into that game in the second quarter to try and get something going from him, and he actively made things worse. He had a really key fumble right before halftime there in that game. And so with Gunnar, yeah, I would take DJ Lagway over him. I would take Lenore Sellers. I would take Doug Nussmeier all over them just because I have a larger body of proof that I'm working with them. With Manning, with Simmons, those guys seem to have more upside, and I think the Simmons part baked into it is the fact that he's working with Lane Kiffin, and there seems to be a certain bump that comes with that. But I'm also not going to be surprised here if we're at the end of the season, Georgia's 11-1 going into the SEC championship game, and Gunnar Stockton is a key reason why. I don't yet know if he's going to be the reason, but with him getting named as one of Georgia's representatives today for SEC Media Days next week, that says a lot to me about how Kirby Smart used Gunnar Stockton, and that should only further inspire confidence in what Georgia has at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and I'm going to continue on that path. How surprised were you that Gunnar Stockton was a representative? I know I talked to the number of people who cover Georgia, and they did not think that they were going to bring Gunnar. And then at the same time, Alabama not bringing Ty Simpson. What's your takeaway from that as well?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was pretty surprised that they brought Gunnar. I thought Oscar Delp would be the third representative, the offensive guy up there to go speak, guy who'd been in the program for a while. I will say from a PR standpoint, Gunnar is going to say nothing interesting or forthcoming at all. So from the, you know, trying to fly under the radar, don't make a lot of news, I certainly see it from that perspective. But Kirby Smart has not yet formally named a starting quarterback for this upcoming season. And so now I think that becomes one of the foremost things of, hey, is Gunnar your starter? Because why would you bring him here to face the litany of types of questions that he's going to face if he wasn't that? I think it was a key moment in a Paul Feinbaum interview Kirby did at the end of May at SEC spring meetings where he had real confidence about Gunnar in a public setting that he had not yet displayed. And I found that to be very interesting at the time. And I think Kirby bringing Gunnar to SEC Media Days only further expands on that and the confidence that Kirby has in Gunnar, not just to lead this team, but sort of be the face of it as well. Because a season ago, look, Carson didn't always play great, but there was some of the behind-the-scenes stuff we had later learned as well. With that, Gunnar brings none of that baggage to the table. He is a universally beloved guy, and I find it very interesting from a semantical standpoint that Kirby is bringing him to SEC Media Days.
We're talking with our buddy Connor Riley from Dog Nation, guys. Let me talk to you about this perception about Georgia Tech, because Phil Steele says he thinks Georgia Tech's a contender in the ACC. Do you feel that way after watching them and the way they played Georgia at the end of the season last year?
In a one game, like, can they beat the best team in the league? Yes, they beat Miami last year at home. They gave Georgia a game and should have won that game there. My question with them is, because Haynes King can't play the way he played against Georgia in every game. He just won't survive. He didn't make it through last season fully healthy, and they dropped a couple games in the middle of the schedule because of that. So I know they like Aaron Filo a lot as their backup quarterback. He's someone who is going to play a good bit for Georgia Tech this year. If you're able to get 12 healthy games out of Haynes King, yes, I think Georgia Tech can absolutely win the ACC. But just from a practical standpoint, they can't play him like he did against Georgia or like he did against Miami, and they're running him as much as he is. They're going to have to find ways to supplement that run, continue to be productive on offense, and improve a lot defensively, because they were just not a great team on that front last year. They bring in a lot of new faces there on that side of the ball. I'm interested in seeing if that defense can improve marginally and they're able to take some of the weight off of the shoulders of Haynes King. I think that's how they open it up, even with Haynes King, I think, being one of the better players in the ACC.
Connor Riley on the WadeFord.com hotline here at the Dog Report. By this time next week, we'll have heard from Kirby, heard from the Georgia contingent, but we also will have heard from Greg Sankey. Is there anything you're expecting him to say in his press conference there at SEC Media Days that you're looking forward to, whether it's about playoff format or anything other than that?
I'll be interested in what he has to say about the playoff format, whether it's all that forthright. I'm not quite sure. We heard Brett Yormark today at Big 12 Media Days come out and really pound the table for a 5-11, 5 conference champion, 11 wild cards, sort of as that the model that which the Big 12 wants. The ACC seems to want that as well. I think if Greg Sankey gets behind that, I have reason to believe that that might ultimately be where we end up at. But we also know that the Big Ten prefers 4 automatic bids. So I'm interested in seeing how he sort of tap dances around answering that question, because that's what I expect from him in that regard. But to me, that is the biggest thing. And then potentially a 9-game schedule, if that is to come forth. I think there are teams in the SEC that don't want that. But at the same point in time, I think if we're going to get uniformity across the sport, that's probably where the SEC is going to head to.
Connor, what's Kirby's message going to be next week? Next week's SEC Media Days here in Atlanta. What do you think his message is going to be? And by the way, we will be there. I know Connor's going to be all over it, guys. We'll talk to him next week as well. But Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is going to kick off the football season with live coverage from SEC Media Days downtown Atlanta. So make sure you join us Monday through Thursday. We'll be broadcasting live from the epicenter of the college football world, and we'll have interviews and coaches and all the favorite SEC schools, etc. And Chris Goforth, by the way, is going to bring you a 1-hour wrap-up show. Well, what do you think Kirby's message is going to be? Because it's different every year. What do you think this year?
You know, there's an old Dr. Dre line, or I guess it's old at this point in time. They say Dre fell off. How? My last album was The Chronic. And I think that's kind of the tone that Kirby Smart's going to take next week. Georgia won the SEC a season ago, and it wasn't always pretty, but they beat Texas twice, and Texas was the last SEC team standing. And going into this offseason, there's just been, it seems like, hype about every other team. Texas has gotten a ton of it because of the presence of Arch Manning. I think Alabama has gotten a lot in recent weeks when people take a look at their two deep and what they have there. LSU with Garrett Nussmeier and Brian Kelly going into a major year. There are teams that are more hyped than Georgia going into next week. And Georgia has flown a little bit under the radar, in part because of the way last season unfolded, in part because of the uncertainty at the quarterback position. But I think maybe like Georgia did at the 2022 SEC Media Days, where Kirby came out on the front foot and said, we will not be hunted. And that team ended up going 15-0 and winning a national title that year. I'm not saying Georgia's going to do that this season, but I expect Kirby to be a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more on the front foot in saying, hey, like, I know there are a lot of flashy teams out there. This sort of program is still the defending SEC champion and isn't someone to be forgotten about.
You mentioned a number of the teams that Georgia's going to be competing in the SEC with in regards to Alabama, LSU, Texas. Is there a team out there in the SEC you think's a sleeper, a team that maybe people aren't talking about enough heading into the season?
I think Ole Miss is interesting to me. Now, they lose a lot, and especially on that defensive line, which I think made them so great last season. But they're a team, they know what they're doing now with managing the transfer portal. And so, because even though they have a lot of turnover, I'm willing to give them maybe a benefit of the doubt. Suntree Perkins is one of the better players in this conference and one of the best productive players. And I kind of agree with Carl. I'm very interested in what we see from Austin Simmons and how he plays this season. Now, I know they got to replace a first-round draft pick in Jackson Dart, but that's going to make things, I think, a little bit smoother knowing what they have there at the quarterback position. And with the schedule being flipped in the manner in which it was from last season, yes, Ole Miss has to go to Athens, but they don't face a very difficult schedule. They get Oklahoma, they get Florida at home this season. And so because of that, I think that they're a team who, you know, a year ago we talked about them like they were going to be a team to make the college football playoff. They ultimately don't. I wouldn't be surprised if we're sitting in November and Ole Miss is a team on the verge of they're at that 9-win mark. Can they get to 10 wins and get into the college football playoff?
Yeah, I just want to follow up because I think Ole Miss is a fine answer. I would go personally with Oklahoma. I just think John Mateer's not is a transfer not enough people are aware about. You add Jay Knott in there with them. I think that's an offense that can break out. I just wonder how dangerous the Sooners can be too.
My question with Oklahoma, one, their offensive line was terrible last year, and that's why Jackson Arnold got beaten up and they had to ultimately bench him, and they had a ton of injuries at wide receivers, and I think they're going to be better at wide receiver this year. But that schedule is really tough with LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Texas. They see a lot of really quality teams where, to your point, they can be improved. They can go, you know, and win some big-time games, and because of that schedule, still only go 8-4. And so that's why, you know, when I see them, you know, as a team, I think they will be improved this season. I like the addition of Mateer and offensive coordinator Ben Arbuckle. But I just don't know if they're quite in that playoff tier because of the fact that they have such a difficult schedule this season.
Connor Riley, tell the people where they can follow your stuff. I know you'll be up on everything next week. It's going to be a fun week. It always is. It kind of kicks off the season, right? SEC Media Week, it does.
Yep, it'll be here before you know it. July is the last month of the year where we don't have football, so we're looking forward to that. You guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Connor.